Before long, we'll be where it would have taken mankind millions of years of learning to reach.
And what will Mitchell learn on getting there? Will he know what to do with his power?
That's the big agenda here, is undermining the whole idea of journalism, and that's the real thing to worry about.
The good old Ministry of Truth has another outlet.
Too often, broadcast radio insults your intelligence instead of respecting it, improving it, challenging it. But not here. Where knowledge is power, this is Powerful Radio. This is 30 minutes of information and inspiration. This is the Ministry of Truth.
Hello and welcome to the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Szczepańczyk. On this episode, we'll hear a series of short speeches delivered at the No War on Iran rally held in downtown Chicago on August 2nd, 2008. We'll also feature a commentary from the website Black Agenda Report. But now, a selection of news about media and democracy from the show Media Minutes.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news related to media and democracy. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement. The Federal Communications Commission voted to approve the merger of the country's only two satellite radio companies, XM and Sirius. Sirius bought XM for $3.3 billion. Consumer groups and traditional radio broadcasters opposed the deal. Mark Cooper, Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America, says that with a monopoly, there is no reason to stay competitive, which can affect price and talent.
We think the evidence is pretty clear that they actually did compete with each other. They went out and looked for talent, they developed formats, they advertised, they invested in research and development, the kinds of things that we associate with competition. If you look at the merger analysis, people thought that the way they were going to save money is to actually stop doing those things that reflect competitive rivalry.
Cooper says consumers can look forward to a loss of formats, less emphasis on new and creative programming, and fewer hosts with star power. In addition, depending on how the FCC actually words the order, the merger could set a precedent for future mergers among other media companies. The key word, Cooper says, is intermodal.
Essentially, what the XM and Sirius said were, even though we're the only two satellite radio service providers, there's other kinds of radio that consumers can listen to. There's terrestrial radio, plain old AM, FM radio. They talked about iPods and internet radio, none of which is really a substitute for the unique product that satellite was offering.
If the FCC accepts the premise that satellite radio had vigorous intermodal competition, it could open the door to more media consolidation.
In the long run, the great danger is that once you start accepting the intermodal competition argument, the whole fabric of regulation of media ownership starts to unravel because the TV broadcasters will come in and say, hey, look at all the other forms of entertainment the consumer has, so you ought to let us merge.
Watch what you're watching. Fox keeps feeding us toxins. Stop sleeping, start thinking outside of the box and unplug from the Matrix doctrine. But watch what you say, Big Brother is watching.
Hip-hop artist Nas joined protesters outside Fox News Channel in New York City on July 23rd to deliver more than 620,000 petitions demanding that Fox end its pattern of racist attacks against black Americans, including presidential candidate Barack Obama and his wife Michelle.
Calling Michelle Obama Barack's baby mama. Tell me, is that acceptable? Is that racist? Bill O'Reilly saying a lynching party. Do you know what that means? A lynching party for Michelle Obama might be legit. Is that acceptable?
No.
Is that racist?
Yeah.
The protest was organized by colorofchange.org, moveon.org, and Brave New Films. The signatures were gathered in less than a month. Andre Banks, deputy director of Color of Change, says that his organization, founded after Hurricane Katrina, to unite people around the idea that, regardless of race, every American should be respected, served, and protected, has been monitoring racism on Fox News.
What we're seeing is a pattern that didn't start with the Obamas, and it certainly won't end with the Obamas unless a greater action is taken, and we're trying to be a part of pushing for that larger action. So, I mean, the Obamas certainly have put a spotlight on what has been a very consistent pattern for Fox, and that is you know, using people's race to cast them as outsiders in their own country. And what we've seen with 620,000 petition signatures, it's something that Americans don't want to see. It's a conversation about race that sets us backward and doesn't move us forward, and it's not what anyone wants to see on Fox or elsewhere.
Come out that little studio and stand up here with the people. Like, man, stop standing behind a desk and dictating this BS to the public. Come outside with the people and let's see where your heart is. Let's see what kind of man you are. Say lynch party around some of these women out here and see what happens.
Watch, 'cause they watch. Watch what you watch. Better watch, 'cause they watch. Watch what you watch. Media misleading you. Watch what you watch.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit www.freepress.net.
And now, a commentary from the website Black Agenda Report.
We need to stop using the word democracy to describe the every 2 or 4 year exercise to fill electoral offices in the United States. The ritual is in fact a commercial enterprise, utterly dominated by corporations that control not only which individuals are nominated by the two big business parties, but what ideas and political programs are made visible to the public. Citizens cannot possibly make free and informed choices when the only views to which they have access are those fed to them by the giant communications corporations that monopolize the American political conversation. When money and the rich man's media are the supreme arbiters of which ideas, parties, and candidates are permitted to effectively compete in the public arena, then democracy does not exist. In Washington, D.C., the statehood Green Party, through labor-intensive, grassroots work, has managed to garner more votes in the last several elections than the local Republican Party. That's an amazing accomplishment, given that the statehood Greens get virtually no coverage from the Washington Post newspaper, which means little or no exposure in the corporate television media either, since all the stations follow the Post's lead. Let's go over the facts again. The statehood Greens are the number 2 party in Washington, D.C., yet the Washington Post refuses to cover them. The paper's congressional reporter, Paul Kane, recently slipped up and told the brutally honest truth about the Post's methodical manipulation of the news. Kane claimed the Greens and Ralph Nader got plenty of coverage in the 2000 election when, in his words, Nader had a chance to play a decisive role in some states. According to Kane, there is little indication that the Greens will have any major impact on the 2008 election. Then, Kane declared, and I quote him, "Until you, Greens, demonstrate that there is some level of support for your party, our paper isn't going to spend precious resources reporting on whatever it is you're doing." Kane is a corporate hack who arrogantly refuses to be bothered finding out just what precisely the Greens are doing, nationally or locally. It appears that's not part of his job description as a major media journalist. The Washington Post won't even cover the Greens in D.C., where they are second to the Democrats in voter appeal. And this year, there are at least as many swing states where the Greens and Ralph Nader's independent operation can play as decisive a role as in the 2000 election, if that is really the criteria for coverage. In reality, the Washington Post and the rest of the corporate media cabal withhold coverage from the non-big business parties in order to starve the public of alternative choices and ideas. They are censors who, as Green Party national standard bearers Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente have said, are attempting to white out a political party that just nominated 2 women of color for president and vice president. Giant corporations control the political menu in the United States. The public is given little choice but to consume whatever the moneyed classes put on their plates. As McKinney and Clemente point out, it is the equivalent of rigging an election. And we will add, it bears no relationship to democracy. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford.
On February 17, 2009, all high-power analog TV in America ends, to be replaced by digital television. You probably heard about that, but there's a lot about this conversion that you probably haven't heard. About 50 million people in America still use analog TV, most of whom are poor, elderly, or don't speak English. There's no plan, and little funding by government and industry for outreach and serving the public, and broadcasters are hoarding up free TV spectrum for themselves rather than for public use. Get the facts. Visit DTVRedAlert.org to learn more.
You're listening to The Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Stepanchik. We now feature a series of short speeches delivered at the No War on Iran rally held in downtown Chicago on August 2, 2008. The rally was held outside the State of Illinois building and convened by the Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism. Neil Reznikoff, the moderator of the rally, began the rally by laying out details about strong hints of possible future military actions against Iran.
They're threatening a blockade. They're threatening more economic sanctions. They're threatening big military action using nuclear weapons that are stronger than the weapons used on Japan after World War II. And yet Iran has not threatened aggression on any other country. Iran has violated no international laws. Iran has every right, every legal right to develop nuclear energy for its power purposes. And it actually has every right to develop nuclear weapons too if it wants to. It would not be illegal. There is no evidence that Iran has been producing nuclear weapons. They say they are not also and do not want to produce nuclear weapons. Now the number of people here today is very good. Everybody should be encouraged by the number of people here today. It's been only 2 weeks since the Coalition Against War and Racism met and decided that it's important for Chicago to join the 50 and more other cities that are holding demonstrations today for no war on Iran. As Andy Thayer, one of the founders of Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism, said at that meeting 2 weeks ago, we need to build up our resistant muscle. We need to build up our ability to have emergency response. This is a very good start after only 2 weeks of organizing, a very good start to build up a campaign, no war on Iran.
That was Neil Reznikoff, the moderator of the rally. We now hear from Ali Akbari from Evanston Neighbors for Peace.
I was raised in Iran. I know the people in Iran. I look around me and I don't see any difference. And I've lived in this country for 40 years. People are people everywhere. They're pursuing the same kind of goals that everybody in this country is pursuing. And they're fighting the same kind of demons, the same kind of government we are involved in fighting in this country. We want health care for everybody, we don't have it. We want jobs, we don't have it. We want police brutality to cease it, but it just keeps on going on and on. We want them to take their hands out of our pocket, but they keep on delving deeper and deeper and taking the roof over our head. So what's the difference between us and them, let's so to speak, Iranian people? On that eventful night, on March 19th of 2003, when the firepower from hell was raining over the Iraqi people, I was sitting there and I was thinking about it. If American people would just let themselves for a second to think that on the receiving end of it are real people just like us, things would have been way, way different. If he wouldn't have given in to the racism, the deep-rooted racism in us, that we are better than them, and being the pawn to the capitalist system, to the financiers in this country, who are robbing us also blind. Did anybody think that the oil was going to be delivered to our doors? That's what Fox said. They were going to deliver oil, gasoline to our doors. But we need to wake up. After 5 years, Iraq is worse than ever before. More than a million people dead. There is no light in sight. People don't know if they're going or coming or they're going to be surviving for the next day. Now they're slating for another country. It's a very simple calculation. Iran's got oil. Wake up, people, and that's what they want. And McCain is right, or maybe wrong. He's not going to be there for 100 years. They're going to be there until the last drop of oil is taken from their under their soil. And that's what Iran's got, and that's what they are after. It's a human catastrophe in the proportion you can't believe. The biggest superpower in the history of the mankind, with the no regard for human or humankind whatsoever, as long as they can fill up their pockets. Well, thank you for coming out today. And my biggest problem is how we could reach people, how we could touch their humanity, which is somewhere in there. It's somewhere in there. We just haven't reached them, we haven't touched it. To tell them that there is no difference between you and Iranian people, Iraqi people, but there is a big difference between you and the corporate America. If it's us and them, it's the people against the corporate America, against the financier, against the capitalism, and nothing else. Thank you.
That was Ali Akbari from Evanston Neighbors for Peace. We now hear from Marsha Bernstein from the North Shore Coalition for Peace and Justice.
The reason that I do all the things that I do, or a major reason that I do all the things that I do, is that as a woman, as a member of humanity, I find the direction that we're heading really, really disturbing. I have a grandchild scheduled to be born next Saturday. Who knows? Babies have their own way. And I think about my kids, think about what kind of world their kids are going to be coming into. There was an article I actually just read yesterday that came out last weekend, written by Chalmers Johnson, talking about the military-industrial complex and how it's gone further than any of us could ever have imagined. Right, it's a good thing to boo. It's one of the things that I think in the coming administration, no matter who that administration is, we need to really think about, we need to really work to take back our government, to take back the functions that should be done by government and not by private military contractors who are only thinking about their bottom line. It's in the interest of Blackwater, of KBR, of all of the others, that we continue to be in continual warfare. That's the only way they're going to make any money. And I don't really think we want those guys being the decision makers, which is really how it's gotten set up right now. Almost all of our intelligence is currently done by outside military contractors, not by our own Defense Department. Not that I'm suggesting that I feel real comfortable with the Defense Department either. However, at least they're working for us. They aren't working for stockholders who only want larger dividends. So, you know, I'd like to just encourage us all in the coming months, in the coming years, to redouble our efforts, to work hard to make sure that we the people are the people that the U.S. government is responsible to and not to corporations. Thank you.
That was Marsha Bernstein from the North Shore Coalition for Peace and Justice. We now hear from Mike Lynn from the No War on Iran Coalition.
Anyway, I want to go back and give you a little bit of history here. We hear a lot of talk from the Bush administration about wanting to build democracy in Iran. This month marks the 55th anniversary of the death of democracy in Iran. In 1953, U.S. Intelligence agencies, in conjunction with British intelligence agencies, overthrew a functioning democracy in Iran, the government of Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh's big crime was that he had nationalized the Anglo-Iranian oil company, what we now know as BP. Today, we again stand on the verge of doing a similar intervention in Iran. Let's take a look at what happened in Iran since that intervention. We had years and years of the repressive rule of the Shah, then eventually the Islamic Revolution leading to the current Islamic regime. Think for a minute about how the history of the Middle East would have been different if the U.S. and Britain had stayed out of Iran. Almost unimaginable, isn't it? We now stand at that decision point where we may make the same mistake again, and that could lead us to another 50 years, 100 years of unbelievable suffering, and also cause incredible dislocations for not only the Iranian people, the American people, and the entire world. So today we're going to be pointing our fingers a little bit. We're going to be pointing our fingers at both major parties, as is appropriate. We know what the Bush regime has brought us. We have some you've heard some things from Obama. It doesn't sound very promising, does it?
No.
I think we also have to point the finger at ourselves. We also have to realize that we bear some responsibility here. We live in a country that has about 4% of the population of the world. We use 25% of the world's oil. We emit more than 25% of the world's greenhouse gases. In some respects, these resource wars are to drive the way we live. And we have to start thinking about that. It's going to have to change. We can't continue to drive our hungers down to the convenience store to get a quart of milk. So if all we do is stop an attack on Iraq, we're going to have to do this again, years again and again, over and over, as more and more wars pop up. We have to take this opportunity to transform our own society and limit the possibility of these wars of aggression and wars to control resources from other countries. All right? So thanks a lot, and we'll be marching soon, I think.
That was Mike Lynn from the No War on Iran Coalition. We now hear from two speakers back-to-back, Angie Haben from the Holy Name Six and Tim Salemi from the Chicago chapter of the Students for a Democratic Society.
The fact that we have all gathered here today proves how important it is to stop the war in Iran, but it cannot end here. There needs to be a next step. Those in power need to be held accountable for their actions.
Yes.
The blood of the Iraqis, the Afghanis, and someday the Iranian people is on all of our hands if we don't stand up and fight back. We have to prove that if another war is started in our names, there will be no more business as usual in this country. Some people think that things will get better after the election, but the truth is, no matter who gets elected, the end result is the same. If it seems as if another war will be profitable, then not even Barack Obama will say no. So we have to. We have to say no to the war in Iran. Say no to the system of electoral politics that have failed us. Say no to police scare tactics that try to keep us off the streets. And say no to everyone who said that civil disobedience isn't worth the risk. It's up to each individual to decide for themselves how much of a risk they can take. Decide your limits, make your plans, and carry them out. Support others' choices and show solidarity with people, even if their decisions may differ from what you would consider. Do whatever it takes to show your opposition to illegal wars. Stop this war before it starts. Thank you for all of your support over these past months, and good luck to everyone heading out to the DNC and the RNC. It's super important that we get as many people out there as possible. It's time to take these the people are the ones that will stop this war.
Angie talked a lot about holding people accountable, and something that I'm really grateful to the organizers of this march about is the fact that we're going to be making stops at the Democratic and Republican offices in the city. So I'm here today to talk about taking that a step further at the DNC and RNC at the end of this summer. Both events are going to be major, major protests, and there are going to be tens of thousands of people in the streets demanding an end to the system that these two parties are perpetuating, and an end to the imperialism that is going to cause wars in all over the world, but especially in Iran now. So if you really want to stop this war, you should come to the DNC, which is the last week in August, and the RNC, which is the first week in September.
That was Angie Haben from the Holy Name Six, and Tim Salemi, a member of the Chicago chapter of the Students for a Democratic Society. To learn more about the Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism, go online to www.ccawr.org. Again, that's ccawr.org.
Listen to all past episodes of the Ministry of Truth online at www.szcz.org. That concludes this episode of the Ministry of Truth. Special thanks to Mario and the staff of WHPK Radio in Chicago. Thank you for listening.